I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your mercies that you give to us, Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace that spoke to us, Father, when in need. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us, Father, to seek you, Lord. And Lord, that we would find your will for our life and do it, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you'd give us your words, the understanding of them, Father. Thank you, Father, that they are preserved for us, Father. We may see, Lord, what you taught when you were here. Lord, help us. I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's turn to our Bibles in Matthew chapter 5. I want to start with some of the instructions that the Lord has given. Let's start in verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and of him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Ye have heard that it hath been said. In the Old Testament, the Bible taught of righteousness, of doing what is right, and also receiving what is right. If someone did you wrong, you were perfectly just to receive compensation for what was done wrong. In order to run a government in this world, there needs be a recompense for evil. If someone does you wrong, you're entitled to be paid back for whatever they've done. That's what Jesus said, an eye for an eye. If someone pokes your eye out, their eye should be put out. And if someone loses their tooth, or you lose a tooth, they should lose a tooth. And that helped control people so that they could live with one another. And that's what the government does. That's the purpose of government. To govern people who will not govern themselves. And to protect those who will govern themselves from those who will not. That's the purpose of the government that God had established in the Old Testament. And that's the way that they ran their country. It was a just country. It was a righteous country, supposed to be, because of these laws that would control people. There is a right way, and that's what this is, a right way. And there's a wrong way. Those who disregard that and are lawbreakers, as they would be termed, and that is a wrong way. And that, in our mind, it's easy for us to justify things whenever we see that it is a right thing to do. And we can condemn things that are wrong to do. So most people in their minds, it is just natural for us to look upon any situation and see a right way and a wrong way. And so we can take the right way and think that we're really doing right. And that's the problem with a lot of people who profess to be Christians. They see right and they see wrong. They see just and they see unjust. And we have a natural tendency, those who want right, to gravitate towards the just and the right. And it upsets us, or we don't like it whenever something is unjust. We see things going on in society that are just not right. And sometimes we allow that to bother us because that's not right. It's wrong. And it goes against our nature or our natural inclination to want what is just right and just. And we have an aversion to what is wrong. We don't like it to see someone wrong. And our desire in that is usually to try to set that straight. The evangelicals, whenever they see the government going wrong, it upsets them. And their desire is to set that straight. So they go vote, or they go try to put someone in office that is going to do what's right. The motive is to do what's right, to avoid that which is wrong. And that's the way of the world. But Jesus said, you've heard that that's the way it is. But I say unto you, there is another way. It's not just justice against wrong. Taking revenge or making everything right that was wrong. I show you a better way. Resist not evil. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Resist not evil. There's a right way and a wrong way, and then there's Jesus' way. There's a right way, there's a wrong way, and there's a way of the cross. The way that Jesus instructed those who would follow Him to do. And it is not the right way, nor the wrong way. It is His way. And that is what we should strive to do. He said, you've heard, it's just, it's right to do all those things. But I say unto you, don't resist evil. Resist not evil. In our natural minds, that is hard to do. To resist not evil. People throw all kinds of scenarios at us whenever we talk about, well, what about this or what about that? What if someone is just coming in to destroy everything in your home? What are you going to do about it? We can trust the Lord, and we can resist not evil. You know, some people say there's reasons for a war, a just war, they call it. A reason to go and defend someone. A reason to go and stop someone from doing wrong. I've thought about that. And you know, no matter how just your cause is, no matter how right your cause may be, whenever you go to war for that cause leaves your mind. 1 hour into a war, and you're just two people trying to kill each other. That's all it is. Good or bad, it doesn't matter anymore. When someone starts shooting at you, and you decide the only way you're going to survive is to kill them first, your just war just went right out the window. Because all you care about now is you surviving and you taking care of that person that is trying to kill you. The justness of your cause does not matter at all at that point. It's over. All you are two people trying to kill each other. That's what Jesus is trying to bring out here. Whatever you try to do to stop someone from hurting you or anyone else, as soon as you get in the battle, your just cause does not matter at all. All you're trying to do is do harm to that person that's trying to do harm to you. And you're one and the same. The children sometimes get into a fuss and he started it. He started it. But whenever you see them two fighting, you don't care what happened. You see two people trying to hurt each other. And that's all it is. Just simple, all it is. It doesn't matter who started it. And it doesn't matter who finishes it. It's two people fighting each other. It's one person, maybe, resisting evil. And whenever you resist that evil, you become a part of it. And you're a partaker of the same thing that they're trying to do to you. Resist not evil. Jesus gave some examples. If anyone, whosoever, shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You offer the other cheek also. You resist the evil. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Resist evil. Do not resist evil. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go with him two. Someone forces you to do something, don't just do what you have to do to get by with it. Go the extra mile. Do something better than what he wants you to do. Why would you do that? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. saith the Lord. You know what it takes to face an evil and not resist it? It takes faith. It takes believing that this is not in our hands, that it is in the Lord's hands. It takes faith to believe that vengeance is mine. I will take care of it. God will take care of it. And if we don't believe that, we have to fix it ourselves. We have to worry about what we're going to do in that situation. That we're going to fix it ourselves. That is unbelief. Faith takes patience. That when you're going through a situation or a trouble or someone's causing you problems, it takes faith to say, whatever I'm going through, Lord, this is your problem, not mine. And I'm going to allow whatever happens to me, no matter how bad it may look, no matter how hard it looks on my pride, no matter what it does to my reputation, no matter if people may say, you're just a sissy because you won't fight. Whatever it takes, if you trust the Lord and you believe in Him, you'll say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And with patience, take whatever comes your way. It's hard to do. And sometimes, God sets us up for a home run, and the ball goes by and it's a strike. See, these opportunities that come when our patience is tried, God's trying to let us hit a home run. To see, not about what some man can do to me or how I can overcome that man by being stronger than him, but how I can overcome that evil with good and do something for God instead of myself. Live for Him instead of myself. You see, a lot of those things that come to us that really hit home with us are tests. Hearing this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, if we look at that and we say, well, whatever they do to me, the Lord's going to get them. That's a wrong, wrong attitude. That is not non-resistance. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Every human being that lives is our brother and our sister. No matter how mean, no matter how vile, no matter how self-righteous they seem to be to us, they're still our brother and our sister. And we should love them and not do them harm. And we should not want harm to come upon them. If we want harm to come upon them, we don't love them, nor are we being non-resistant. If we pray, Lord, You take care of them, that's wrong. Therefore, if thine enemy may hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. You know, we live in a time where it's hard to fulfill this. Our enemies, oftentimes, are people who don't need anything and don't want anything because they have everything. And it's really hard to fulfill this. But if you look for a way to do them good and return good for evil, you'll probably find something that you can do for them. They may even be suspicious about you doing it. People have such a self-righteous attitude that if someone does them good, they think, oh, they're just trying to do that to get me. We take this verse here that, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I don't know what all that means, but I know it doesn't mean that you do good something so God will pour hot coals on their head. Because that is not non-resistance. God may put those on there, and it may bring him to repentance. But that's not our concern about what happens to him. Our concern is that we do what's right. Our concern is that, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Whenever we think of the word overcome, a lot of times we think, I'll win this battle. I'll overcome him. I'll put him down. But that's not what it's talking about. Overcoming is not putting someone else down. Overcoming is, I'm not going to let someone who's trying to put me down and get entangled in the same thing that he's doing. I'm going to rise up above it and overcome his evil with good and with doing what's right. If someone does us wrong, the only way to overcome it is to win the battle by not getting involved in it. Resist not evil. You know, people come up with all kinds of questions of why we shouldn't resist evil. But Jesus said, if we come to Him, we come to Him as a little child. You know, a lot of times we ask a lot of questions when we ought to just obey. You can just ask yourselves questions until you cannot find anyone that has an answer for it. And then you're stuck. Then you're done. There's nothing there. People that question themselves and question everything that comes at them, question and question, thinking they're becoming wiser and wiser and wiser. But after you talk to those people, I think they get farther and farther and farther. Their end sum for having no questions is zero. For having no answers is zero. If you don't have an answer, you don't have anything. And you can ask questions until you wind up with nothing. Absolutely nothing. Whenever we were talking to the atheists last week, they just have question after question after question that they can't answer. And I told them, you know what your answer is? It's nothing. Absolutely zero. And the thing about it is if you're right after you die, you'll never even know you were right. You'll never even know you were right. What good is that? That's nothing. Zero. Don't be tripped up with all the what fors and what ifs. Jesus said, resist not evil. Believe Him like a little child. An obedient little child that says, don't touch the stove. We don't have to make all kinds of explanations why they can't touch the church, the soul. Sometimes they have to find out and get burned. But then they learn that they better listen next time. They can ask all kinds of questions. And what they wind up doing is touching the stove. The more questions they have, the more likely they'll be to wind up with a big old blister on their fingers. But if they'll obey, they can avoid all of that. Jesus said, resist not evil. And it's just that simple. Paul said, overcome evil with good. How do you overcome someone that's just, oh, they're just your enemy? How do you overcome them? How do you get rid of that? You pray for them. You look for opportunities to do good for them. Instead of thinking, oh, how bad they've hurt me, think, what can I do good for them? We got to let things go. And it seems that what they do is just absolutely unjust and they're going to get way away with it. That's not our concern. Our concern is how we respond to it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What good thing can you do in your own mind that can turn away those evil thoughts that you have towards someone? One time, the man that is living with my wife called me and just really tore into me about that I shouldn't be talking to his wife. And that if I didn't quit talking to her, that he was going to play hardball. He threatened me. And that didn't set too well with me. And I said some things. I didn't re-threaten him. It just upset me. And I told him he was a usurper and he didn't belong in that place. That he had usurped the authority of my wife and my children. And that's right. He has. But it upset me when he said that. And I said that in an upset way. And I hung up the phone. I had every right to say every word that I said. Every right, according to the Word of God. But when I hung up the phone, I thought, this is my problem, not his. And I had to call him back. He had threatened me. And I called him back. And I said, I'm sorry. I had an evil thought against you. I had an evil thought against you. It's my problem. And I'm sorry. I had never had an ill feeling towards him until that time. And that's all that the Satan is waiting for. Is just that time. Whenever they just push your buttons. It's the meanest thing that they could do. no matter what the cause, it's not what they're saying or what they're doing. It's how we respond to it. Do we respond with non-resistance? In Peter, Jesus gives us, or Peter tells them an example of how he saw the Lord. First Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Not only do we not render wrong for wrong, we don't even say wrong when we're spoken to wrong. Not railing for railing. To rail on someone is just to really let them have it. Just to really give it back to them because they said something and I told them off. That's railing. And we're even not to do that. But counterwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they should speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him avoid evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. Get hold of it. Seek peace. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. The Lord's eyes are watching for people who's going to act this way. And his ears are attentive to people who are living this way. We've got the Lord's eyes on us and the Lord's ears on us when we choose this path. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It doesn't say the face is against them that do evil justly. It is the face of the Lord who is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? What can they do to you if you do what is good? Jesus said they may kill the body. They may kill your reputation. They may kill everything that you love. But what can they do to your soul if you do that which is good? What can they do to you if you respond right? It's what God sees, not what man sees, that's important. Let's turn over here again to Second Peter. Verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Jesus was perfectly just, perfectly holy, doing everything that was right, helping everyone He could find. And they took Him and they nailed Him on a cross because they hated Him. And He opened not His mouth like a sheep to the slaughter. If there was anybody that had an opportunity to really tell them what for, it would have been Jesus. And He opened not His mouth. He committed Himself to one that was above. And while He was dying, looked upon those who had nailed Him to the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's our goal. That's how you be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You do good to the good and to the evil, to the just and to the unjust. You treat everyone without respect of their person. Doing good to all. We need to watch our mouths. Our mouths lead us into trouble. James said that our mouth's like the little helm, the little rudder on a ship. It's just a little thing compared to how big the ship is, yet it guides the direction of the ship. I see people, you know, I just watching people on the street and all these little street children. They're all mad. And they go down the street and you just hear them. Almost every other group comes by. Yeah, I told him I was going to beat him down. They talk real tough. They talk real bad. And they're guiding where they're going to go. Sometimes you just look at that and these little fellas trying to talk tough and you think, pretty foolish. It's pretty foolish. Trying to make themselves out to be some tough guy. A lot of times that kind of comes right in pretty close to home, though. We don't have to be a tough guy. We're called to be good guys. We're called to be righteous men. We're called to overcome those things. You know, whenever someone starts running their mouth, the first thing we want to do, we kind of bristle up. Because they're telling us they're tougher than I am. Boy, that didn't set too good sometimes, does it? Someone telling me, I'm tougher than you are. They was telling Jesus that. We're tougher than you are. And He opened not His mouth and forgave them. He did this for an example for us. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It's a war. It's a battle. Not to rise up and fight against those things. But faith says, I'm committing myself to the Lord. And I'm going to follow His example. And not resist in tongue or in deed. But to reward good. And to bless. Don't speak down about those who are doing you wrong. Speak right about them. Bless them. From your heart. Jesus said, if we can't forgive, the Father can't forgive us. There's a battle trying to get you overcome. There's a war. Satan is just trying to get you and to overcome you and to get you involved in this war that's going on in this world. Overcome that with good. That's our hope. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Father, thank You. Lord, help us, Father, to put this into practice. That we may be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. As we saw the example that Christ gave. Doing good to all. Help us, Lord, follow His steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone have anything? Well, Lord bless you. Pray for Kevin. Again, not feeling very well. We'll meet back this evening at 6. Here. All right. Well, God bless you.